Hello, and welcome to Simple Man Sermons, the preachings of a simple man called by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Trials and tribulations. Sounds like one of those old school Southern fire and brimstone sermons. Trials and tribulations. I am actually in the South right now, so where I hail from, where I grew up, south of the Mason-Dixon line and east of the Mississippi. But I was planning on doing this before I got here, and it's not going to be that kind of sermon. But it is going to be on trials and tribulations. And to use a country colloquialism, to let them roll off our back like water off a duck's back. Because they're going to come. I'm not a prophet. I know that they're going to come. One, from personal experience and everybody that I've ever known. But mostly I know that trials and tribulations are going to come because Jesus said so. And Jesus doesn't lie. God does not lie. And he says, well, why don't we look to what he says? John 16. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Because Jesus says so. He says, in this world you will have tribulation. Notice both those things. To the world, a contradiction. To the world, it doesn't make any sense. But it's not going to make sense to the world, as the Bible says. 1 Corinthians. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We don't want tribulation, but we know that we will have tribulation. But unlike the rest of the world, we can go through it with a sure hope, with a blessed assurance, founded on better things than the world has, founded on a rock. I read again. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. And then what does it say? It doesn't say be sad, with a sad countenance, and walk around with your head down. It says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Again, to the world a contradiction, but to those who are called, we know. We have a better perspective. We have a right perspective, because we know that our time here on this earth is but a shadow of things to come. It's a small, small time. I don't talk a lot about my personal life on this podcast, because this podcast is not me at the center, it's God at the center. I am but an earthly vessel to help shine his light, and I'm humbled that God uses me at all to do so. But anyway, my wife and I live semi-nomadically, live very small, very minimalist compared to most Americans, traveling around, hopefully primarily as a preacher sharing the good news, strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're traveling across country, and my primary vehicle, it broke down. Kept overheating it. It overheated in Nebraska, and I was stuck in Nebraska. And I remember the first time that it had overheated, I was out trying to fix it, and it was cold. I mean, and we were coming from Arizona, that's where we most recently lived for a while, but it was cold no matter what. I think one of the locals told me it was -9, who pulled over to ask if I needed any help. A good Samaritan. It was -9, and I was out there working on the vehicle. And it was kind of like Groundhog Day. Every day I thought I had fixed something, and I thought we were going to be leaving Nebraska, and the next day I'd wake up in Nebraska. Trials and tribulations, right? And that vehicle ended up, you may or may not be mechanically inclined, but ended up getting water in the oil, which is a big deal. It's something major I couldn't fix with the tools that I had without a shop and proper equipment. Ended up having to sell the truck and buy a new truck on the road, eating up, not my resources, because they're God's resources, right? And he takes care of me. He provides for me. Having to dig into savings, which wasn't really happy to do, and spending time there getting everything ready and having to throw stuff away to get in the new vehicle and everything like that, and having a time dealing with rendering on the Caesar and getting registration and things like that. Trials and tribulations, right? And part of me really wanted to complain about that. Part of me really wanted to get bitter about that, as a human flesh tendency kind of is, right? And then I thought, even in the midst of it, I thought about Paul. And I thought, who am I to complain? Let's read a little bit about what Paul says about his walk with God on this earth and things that he went through. Just a little bit. This is a speech from Paul you'll find in 2 Corinthians. I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. Stripes means getting beaten like with a whip. In stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have seen in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and darkness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. And I remembered those verses when I was going through the trials and tribulations, and I was going through, and I thought, who am I to complain about such petty things? Yeah, I was out in the freezing cold, and I may have been without heat and stuck on the side of the road in super cold temperatures and whatever, but what is that compared to what Paul went through? And that's in the middle of his ministry. He died. He was martyred for Christ. And how many men over the centuries have been martyred for Christ? And how cush do I have it? How easy do I have it here as an American in the 2022? I'm not saying they weren't trials and tribulations, that I haven't been through trials and tribulations. I have almost, except for being saved by the grace of God, been killed many times. I've been to war twice. I've served on some of the nastiest streets in the country in law enforcement. I've definitely seen some things. But what is that compared to the grace of God? I'm a stranger and a pilgrim here on the earth. Every breath that I have is a gift from God. Some breaths are easier than others. Some days are easier than others. In this world, we will have tribulation because Jesus says so. That's one of the ways we know that we're following God. It's not going to be an easy walk. He doesn't promise us a rose garden. I was a Marine. There's an old Marine Corps poster with a drill instructor yelling at a Marine, like getting up in his face in his business and yelling at him. And it says something on the bottom. It was a real famous poster back in the day. It says, we didn't promise you a rose garden. Nobody joins the Marine Corps, at least no intelligent man joins the Marine Corps thinking it's going to be easy, right? That's why you do it, because it's hard. If you're following Jesus, even today, even in America, you will be persecuted. I have been persecuted many times for the sake of Christ, and I count it all joy, just like Paul did. I have lost dear family members that won't speak to me because I did what God wanted me to do and was following God, and they just didn't understand. I didn't grow up Christian. I grew up a heathen, and I'm still praying for my family, but they're not Christian yet. I have lost very dear family, the dearest of family. I've lost careers because they wanted me to do things that I wouldn't do as a Christian, or to stop doing things that I couldn't stop doing as a Christian. Count it all joy. This is what Jesus says. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man who gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Now, I'm the first to say that I'm not perfect. I stumbled many times, especially going through these latest tribulations. It has been an ordeal, and I have not walked perfectly. I am not a perfect man. That's why I need a perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. If I was perfect, if I did everything right, what need would I have of a Savior? But I'm not so self-delusional that I think that I'm good enough to earn salvation on my own. I am not perfect, and I don't walk perfectly, but I have a perfect example to follow. And when I fall short, I have a good shepherd to lead me back to the right path. And I certainly go through trials and tribulations following Jesus. And if you truly follow Christ, if you're truly a disciple, the world is going to not understand you. They're going to persecute you. And these last trials and tribulations with the vehicle, that's just earthly stuff that just happens. We will have tribulations in this world. It is what it is. But we have an assurance, a hope of better things. This world, our bodies, this earthen vessel, it's a temporary thing. We are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I'm reminded of the passage, for they declared plainly, and it's talking about the patriarchs, the forefathers, right? They declared plainly that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Hebrews 11:13. These all died, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. What are the things of this world compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us? What are the trials and tribulations of this world compared to the future and the blessed assurance we have in Christ? The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation earnestly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. Notice the words, if indeed we suffer with Him. And also, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You remember, if you grew up in America or Europe or wherever, when you were in high school, you remember some of the ridiculousness in high school and how the little teeny things were so important. Kids cared so much about what kind of shoes they wore and what brand shirt they had and if this girl liked him or that girl liked him. And I'm a man, I'm speaking, you know, do the reverse if you were a woman in high school, but I'm sure girls in high school have their own troubles being popular with other girls or whatever. But remember how those little petty things at the time seemed so important. And you get out of high school, you get out of that Lord of the Flies kind of arena into an actual more real world instead of that artificial one created in that environment that's very alien from those other environments. And you realize, looking back after a couple years, that stuff just doesn't matter, right? It just doesn't matter. Looking back, who cares how popular you were in high school? Who cares what brand shoes you had when you were a freshman? Or that stuff, looking back, it's just so petty. Now think about that in this context. When you're in heaven, and you've been there for thousands and thousands of years, and you're looking back at your short time here on this earth, what are those little trials and tribulations that seem so enormous at the time? What are they going to be looking back on them? How small are they going to look? I read again, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You'll find that in Romans 8. And I'm not saying not to go to God. You should go to God all the time. It is always the right answer to go to God. If you're going through a trial or tribulation, even if it's a minor one, I don't care if you stub your toe, go to God. Go to God always and have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Totally agree. Totally believe that. And you better believe that I was praying when I was going through these trials and tribulations. But try and remember to keep it in perspective. Use the great men of the Bible as an example. What great man of the Bible didn't go through trials and tribulations? David? I mean, he certainly went through a ton. He was on the run for a while. Even after prophet had anointed him to be king, he was running and hiding in caves for his life, acting like a crazy person, literally, so he didn't get killed. We read some of the trials of Paul. Except for John, I believe, all the apostles got martyred. They were killed for the sake of Christ. Who are we compared to that? And obviously pray, you know, the story of the apostles when they were in prison, they were praying and singing psalms. And they were delivered out of prison. You should definitely go to God. But try and keep it in perspective is what I'm saying. You will go through trials. You will go through tribulations because Jesus says so and Jesus doesn't lie. Even Jesus died. Now, he rose from the dead and I totally believe that. But he still had to die and he suffered a lot more than you and I have suffered for the sake of following God and doing what God wanted. He had trials and tribulations on this earth. If Jesus did, Jesus, remember when he went to the wilderness and fasted for 40 days? I can't even fathom what it would be like to fast for 40 days. And let's look at Paul for an example here, and I think I might start closing with this. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. For I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I generally, if I don't say otherwise, most of the time I'll read to you guys from New King James. We might get a better comprehension of that if we read it in a more modern translation. Let's look there. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thanks for listening, and have a blessed day.